A number of federal agencies are missing the mark on their treatment of whistleblowers by not publicizing their whistleblower ombudsman or adequately telling employees about their whistleblower rights. That assessment is from the Project on Government Oversight. POGO reviewed the 2012 Whistleblower Protection Act and how well 72 agencies are complying with it. Michael Smallberg is the investigator for POGO on this review, and he joins us now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so first review for us what the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act did back there when it was signed, I guess, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, so this was a landmark bill that really modernized and in many ways restored protections for federal employees who blow the whistle. And there were many important reforms in that bill, but one of the changes is that it required many of the large inspector general offices, those headed by presidentially appointed IGs, to name someone to serve in this new role, the whistleblower protection ombudsman. Now, the law itself doesn't actually say a whole lot about the ombudsman's role and responsibilities. I mean, basically, they're supposed to educate agency employees and supervisors about the rights and protections that are available to whistleblowers. And they can serve in an intermediary role. So, for example, an ombudsman might be able to help resolve problems between an employee and a supervisor before retaliation occurs in the first place. But at the same time, the law explicitly says that the ombudsman cannot act as a legal advocate or representative for the employee.
All right. So you looked at there's 72 agencies affected, though, by this law, correct?
So there are. We did look at the websites of all 72 inspectors general to see what kind of information they're posting about these ombudsmen, but not all 72 were actually required to name someone to that position. So we did want to at least see, for the ones that were required to do so, have they named someone and what are they putting online? But we also did note that other agencies have taken the extra step to name someone to that position and are doing a very good job about posting helpful and accurate information on their websites about whistleblower rights.
So those that are required to by the law, what did you find with respect to those? Did most of them do it, have the ombudsman and make it clear that there is one?
So happily, we did find that many of those large IGs have named someone to that position. But we did notice that there was a wide disparity in the kind of information that they are putting on their websites. And just to flag, I mean, this is a problem that POGO has looked at over the years when we looked at the IG system and the relationship between IGs and whistleblowers, because the website might be the first place that a whistleblower or potential whistleblower is going to check when they're considering exposing some serious wrongdoing or waste, fraud, and abuse or a threat to public safety. So it's really important that website have accurate and honest information about the rights that are available to them. So we did find, for example, that some IG offices have really done an exemplary job of posting information online.
Tell us about one who's really good.
Sure. So, you know, there are some, such as the Department of Justice Inspector General has actually created a video. There's, you know, several video tutorials on there with a really helpful list of frequently asked questions that whistleblowers often face. You know, the Department of Transportation IG and many others publicly identify the person who's serving as that ombudsman, offer a dedicated way for employees to get in touch. You know, there are some IGs, such as the watchdog at the Department of Education, is now required to investigate claims of retaliation brought not just by agency employees, but also contractors, subcontractors, grantees. And so their page does reflect that new authority. Other IGs are often dealing with whistleblowers who have access to classified information, and there's a new process by which the employees can ask IGs to look at claims of retaliation related to their security clearance. So, again, you know, we really were pleased to see that some agencies have posted that update information online because there have been a number of significant changes in recent years in whistleblower rights.
But you also found some cabinet-level agencies that need to get their giddy up on this too, huh?
We did. So we found that there were some very significant IGs, for example, those at the Department of Homeland Security and USAID, that were required to designate someone but have publicized very little information, at least on their public-facing website, about this resource. Now, of course, you know, the ombudsman and the website isn't the only way that IGs or agencies have to educate or train employees. And indeed, some people told us that those IGs have actually made this information available on internal-facing sort of intranet sites for the employees. That's not to say that they haven't taken any steps to educate folks about whistleblower rights. But we do think it's important to also post that information online. For example, an employee may not be in an office where they'll be able to access the agency's internal page. And it's important to have that information in a public place where they can access it. And it also lets outside stakeholders see what the IG offices are doing to educate and inform whistleblowers or potential whistleblowers. And I think it also lets the IGs look at what their counterparts are doing and share best practices and find models to emulate.
We're speaking with Michael Smallberg. He's the investigator for POGO on a review of compliance of the Whistleblower Protection Enhancement Act. And do you find that those agencies that are posting detailed information about the ombudsman, both to whether publicly or internally, tend to be those agencies that give a lot of other information about themselves internally online for the public also?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I should note that there's a separate requirement now that agencies have to seek certification from the Office of Special Counsel to ensure that agency employees are informed of their whistleblower rights. And so, you know, for example, we were concerned to see that some of those same IG offices that are not posting information about their ombudsmen have also not signed up or been certified by OSC. Now, I did speak to one official from DHS who explained that there is a complicated process they had to go through. It's not just a matter of flipping the switch and suddenly getting that certification. You know, at an agency of that size where you have agents scattered across the country, including many who don't work behind a desk, there is a challenge there in providing ongoing training. But you know, we are encouraged to see that they are at least taking steps to move in that direction. And we hope the ombudsman can really play a leading role in helping the IG offices and the agencies do all they can to make sure that they're putting the information out there that they need to inform employees of their whistleblower rights. You know, there are cases where employees understand those rights very well, but may still decide that they don't feel adequately protected. I believe a federal news radio survey found that only 16% of federal employee respondents said they feel protected enough to report waste, fraud, or abuse in their agency. But to the extent that IGs can at least provide more information, clear up any misunderstandings about the whistleblower rights, we really hope the ombudsman can play a leading role in that effort.
All right, let me ask you this. Just give us an idea of the general process here. If someone sees wrongdoing they think needs to have the whistle blown on it, do they tend to go first right to the IG's office, or do they tend to tell their what's the process? Do they go to the supervisor first, or maybe the head of the program manager, for example? How does it usually end up with the inspector general?
Yeah, there are a number of different avenues. Some people will report first to their supervisor. Some people go to the IG. Other people will go to the Office of Special Counsel, you know, Congress. I mean, there are many avenues that employees can explore to blow the whistle. You know, one interesting problem, as some people have pointed out to us, is that over the years there have been allegations of whistleblower retaliation within IG offices. So there may be a tricky situation in some cases where someone from within an IG office may feel that they're experiencing retaliation, you know, in which case they may have reservations about contacting someone from within that office to raise those concerns. But there are, of course, other ways that they can bring that information out there. So, again, it's just important to make sure employees know about all the avenues that are available to them so they can decide what they think is the most, you know, credible and effective way to blow the whistle if that's what they decide to do.
And as we learn more and more that these agencies do have ombudsmen and who they are, what are you finding are the types of people that are becoming the ombudsmen? Are they like deputy inspectors general and taking on an additional role?
Yeah.
Are people hiring new people? How's it working?
Yeah, we found that in many cases the IGs are taking someone who's already a senior official in that office, say the counsel to the IG, and giving them now this added duty as the ombudsman. Now, in an ideal world, you know, of course, we could maybe imagine agencies having the funding or resources to create a totally separate office where this ombudsman could exist. But, you know, I think it was a natural fit in many cases for that person to be someone who's already in the IG office, that's already handling whistleblower intake and thinking about these issues, and is the best person that's currently in place to lead this role and to make sure that employees are getting the information they need.
It's interesting about DHS because one of my complaints about them is they have never listed who their public affairs officers are on their home. I mean, there are some agencies that list a dozen people by name, direct phone number, and email address, including what areas they cover. And DHS just has sort of a dead letter box, you know, public affairs or something at DHS.gov. So it does seem to be a pattern about putting people out there available for the public to see.
Absolutely. And that's why we wanted to just start at least by looking at these websites, just to get a glimpse of these programs, to see what kind of information IG offices are putting online. But of course, that is just the first step. I mean, in some cases, we're going to need to see much deeper cultural transformations to restore the credibility of these offices in the eyes of whistleblowers. And the big test will come as people actually start to reach out to these offices. Are they getting the information they need? Are they finding the process helpful? You know, are these ombudsmen really providing independent and objective advice? So there's a lot that remains to be seen about how effective these programs are going to be. But as a basic first step, we wanted to see what are they putting out there online, what are they telling the public about these programs. And as I said, for the most part, we're encouraged to see the progress that's been made so far. But we would like to see some of those offices that are maybe dragging their feet a little bit to finish putting that information online and complying with the requirements.
Now, your report just came out a couple of days ago. Have you shared it with federal agencies directly, and do you have any reaction yet from some of those that were fingered?
Yeah, well, we certainly will be reaching out and have reached out to the offices that we spoke to. And as I said, we did get some helpful information about things that they're doing offline or at least on internal websites to educate those employees and to make sure that they have the training that they need. But we will be certainly reaching out to them in the future to share the best practices that we've learned from other offices. And to see if these ombudsmen can go beyond just the basic requirements of the law to really think more broadly and holistically about the relationship between IGs and whistleblowers.
Michael Smallberg is an investigator for the Project on Government Oversight. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.